begin, Dr. Burke. How do new human diseases emerge?
We're just beginning to understand that process. It seems that most of the important epidemic diseases are already infectious diseases in animal populations. And the best examples we know of are AIDS and influenza and SARS and the bovine spongiform encephalopathy, mad cow disease. All of these started in animal populations and then made the jump into humans to cause disease.
And what is, you've been a pioneer in disease forecasting. Can you explain what that is and how does that work?
Well, I guess I'm a pioneer because it really isn't a field yet. But my colleagues and I have been thinking about how viruses emerge, how epidemics emerge, and do we have to wait until we see the body count go up, or is it possible to understand the process well enough to predict what might happen and intercede even before the first human cases start to occur? Or if not that, at least as early as possible in the process. The idea would be to stop an epidemic before it becomes an epidemic. It's not consequence mitigation, it's finding the non-linearity in the system, the place where the virus is most vulnerable, and then interceding there and stopping the epidemic. That at least is the theory. It's a long way to go for practice, but we think that that's a possibility.
And how does this differ from kind of conventional public health approaches like surveillance?
The usual approach to emerging infectious diseases is often referred to as surveillance and response. And that's an extremely important way of dealing with infectious diseases or any, and for that matter, any disease. And that is to do a good systematic surveillance of the population to see if the disease is present. Measure that, see how rapidly it's changing, and respond to stop it as early as possible. But it, when you use a surveillance and response strategy, you're already saying that the disease is in the human population and is spreading before the response occurs.
And one of your proteges, Nathan Wolf, is working in with hunters in Cameroon. Can you talk about that and that work and why that's important and what that has to do with the future?
Well, the diseases that are in animals, when they make the jump into humans, do so into humans who have contact with animals. And those persons can either be hunters or butchers or people who work in the markets or people who raise the livestock. But persons who come into contact with animal populations are the portal of entry into the human population for diseases that are in the animals. We have been studying AIDS and HIV in Central Africa for some time, trying to understand how that disease emerged, how it evolved, and we have come to appreciate that humans who hunt other non-human primates, that is, who hunt chimpanzees or gorillas or monkeys, that they come into contact with the blood and tissues of the animals, and in the process of hunting or butchering, when they use their knives and machetes, can get cuts in their hands and blood-to-blood transfer. And we've now documented several infectious diseases that aren't known to be infections of humans that have jumped from monkeys into humans. They haven't caused any epidemics, but so we now think that hunters in the Congo Basin, where there's lots of biodiversity, lots of non-human primates, that this is a population that is a real risk for emergence of new viruses that may jump from animals into humans.